Merry Christmas, Travis.
Merry Christmas.
I started the recording, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Is that not how we greet each other now? We'll just say, Merry Christmas.
Happy
holidays. Oh, well. Okay. Halloween is a long ways away.
Yeah.
But we wish, I hope you have a happy one when we get there. Hopefully we'll be like episode like 50-something. But whatever, we'll see what happens. Man, I feel like we should banter some more.
Okay.
But I don't have anything to banter about. We didn't actually plan any bantering today. Or I should say, I didn't plan any bantering. Did you plan on any bantering?
No, but, I mean, my stomach's killing me right now.
Oh yeah, should we talk about your fiery night with your spicy wings?
Yeah, it was a good idea.
Yeah, good idea.
Okay, so got off work last night.
Good time.
I get off work last night, and I was closing, and three of the dudes there were like, "Hey, let's go get some wings." I'm like, "Okay, that sounds great."
Aren't you guys a pizza place?
Yeah.
Don't you guys make wings?
No.
Okay.
We're not Pizza Hut.
I when I think wings place, I think pizza has wings. In my brain, they go together. All right, continue your story, wings.
So we get there, and I'm looking through all the different wings that they have, and they have probably like 15, 20 different varieties.
Is this a local place?
Yeah. It's called Native. It's actually based out of New York, but...
So it's not a...
It's local.
A
locally
local
here.
Okay. Okay, so there's some sort of chain.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
So
that's fine.
It's more like a classy Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay, well that doesn't take a lot.
Yeah,
continue.
No, it really doesn't. So we're going
and
through,
you,
and I'm
which
like,
ones do you pick?
Like, oh wow, I wonder if this is actually as hot as you know the pepper is supposed to be. So I choose the ghost pepper.
Right.
And
all the lumens.
Yeah. And then I decided that since one of the options was a pound, that a whole pound of ghost fire wings would be a good idea.
Sure. It's probably fine.
Yeah, and then...
No harm can come from that.
And then as soon as we left, started getting heartburn, and that kept me up till about 3 in the morning.
That's all right. I mean, there's nothing quite like...
good decision-making skills.
Keeping you awake... Then good wings. As long as it doesn't burn too bad later, this morning, that'll be the real test.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm worried about, because my stomach's already hurting, so this will be a fun experience as soon as we're done.
Yeah. Let's hope it continues to be an amazing decision for you.
I mean, and well, as history has shown, I'm probably going to repeat this mistake.
Like most things.
Yeah.
Well, as much as I love hearing about how spicy your wings are, and honestly, I'm spending the time scrolling through all the Bond girls pictures, over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I could do this all day, but we probably shouldn't. We should probably get to Magic the Gathering. I did not realize that Faye Jenkinson was in GoldenEye. Huh. She was in the X-Men. She's the X-Men movie. She's Jean from all the X-Men movies. Famey.
Oh, okay.
Famke Jenkinson?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Anyway, let's get away from trolling ourselves, looking at everything else. Let's get into the magic. So today's episode title, Merry Christmas to All, with our working subtitle of Except Moto, It Can Burn in a Fire. Let's just say it's probably not the best thing in the world for us to record immediately after the Magic stream today. I'm a little angry at the Magic Online Shuffler. Just a little bit. I sent out a nasty tweet. I think that's how I said hello to you this morning.
Yeah.
Was a slur of profanities about Moto Shuffler. I think that's the first thing I said when you answered the phone or when you called.
Yeah.
I'm pretty irritated. Pretty irritated. But, I don't know. Let's skip all that. You sent me some exciting Facebook messages. Or no, not messages. You posted them, right? Yeah, you posted them about your Friday Night Magic experience and Hedonistro. Tell the viewers.
Okay.
Tell the listeners.
So, playing FNM, and, well, like last week, I decided that Hedonistro was going to go in my deck.
Right.
So, you know, I'm playing it, and I never really realized how synergistic it is with Oblivion Sower.
It's good.
You cast Hedonist Trove, you get their entire graveyard into exile. And then you cast Oblivion Sower. First you exile the top four cards of their library. Then you get all of their lands from exile, and you may put them into play.
Mm-hmm.
There's one game where the person I was playing had 25 cards in his graveyard, over half of which were land, and, you know, this is from Altar of the Brood. And so I cast Hedonist Trove, and I get them all back. Or, you know, I get them all in exile. Next turn, I cast Oblivion Sower, and I put every single one into play. And I had three or four, I can't remember the exact numbers, three or four Retreat to Kazandu. So I gained like 48 life off of all the lands coming into play. And he milled down to probably 5 cards left in his deck, and he was just like, I don't know how to beat that. I just can't do with anything this week. Or, you know, in this match.
Right.
So then I was playing against one of our local judges, and he was playing Abzan Midrange. He was playing the 5-color Bring to Light, so, you know,
Abzan. Okay, Midrange. Even better. Yeah. I like that deck a lot.
And just milling him, you know, ever so slightly. And I play Hedonist Trove, and he just looks at it, and he reads it over. He goes, wow, this is one of the most garbage rares I've ever seen. I can't believe I'm losing to it. He goes through his library. He's like, oh, well, there's 3 of my Siege Rhinos. And then he scoops.
He goes to his graveyard?
Yeah.
He goes to his graveyard.
Yeah, that were in the graveyard. So,
yeah, it's...
So he scoops. He's like, damn you. Just damn you. I can't believe this is happening. But he was laughing about it, but you could tell he was on tilt.
Right. I kind of wonder, should we be building a Hedonist Trove
ramp deck?
Ramp deck plus, like, Villainous Wells?
Well,
like, I just play with all your things?
The thing that I realized with Villainous Wells, I'm only going to be able to put, like, 2 in there, like, at most.
Right.
Because
and
it costs
that's
way
all
too
you
much.
Want.
Yeah.
That's all you want is 2. But with, you know, like, Oblivion Sower, Villainous Wells, the different life-gaining things, the other, you know, get 3 lands, draw, or gain 7 life, Nessus, whatever, the artifacts that generate mana. Like, I just feel there's a deck there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not positive. There's been numerous times where, especially in the last couple of weeks, I've looked at Villainous Wealth and thought, you know what? I bet now is the time. There's just so many good things being played right now. If you can Villainous Wealth for even a moderate number, say like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
That's a ton of stuff. And if you can get all the way to like 10 or 11, because people are playing things like Ulamog or like Kozilek here next month, it just seems like there's a real possibility of just crushing them with their own cards. And nothing is as much fun as that.
Yeah, especially when they're just like, what's your win condition this week? And you respond with, I don't know, what are you playing?
Yeah.
They really don't know how to respond to that until they see it happening, and they're just like, oh. Well, damn.
And I feel like between Kiora and a few other cards, I feel like it's probably there. There's probably a way to do this.
Yeah.
Maybe we should focus on that for, I don't know, maybe not this week, but maybe next week or the week after. Maybe we should do another challenge. I want to do this with real cards, though, cards that I own, because I don't want to have to limit my mana base to
online.
Because that's my big concern right now when it comes to online, is the mana bases. Because we talked about it a little bit last week, where I think if you're going to move to Magic Online, take the opportunity to buy the fetch lands as one of the first things you do. Or not necessarily the first thing, because you definitely want to have a deck. But don't be afraid to start picking up those fetch lands. It's just, like this week, for example, on Magic Online, I played the last week's Budget Magic decks. I think he's calling it J, or maybe R allies, red allies. And I had a lot of fun playing it, even though I had a lot of mana issues. And it really came down to the fact that my fetch lands were slow.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the time, it was like, okay, you have a Pain land, a Evolving Wilds, and maybe you have one other land, but maybe not. And you're like, well, I've got 2-drop, 2-drop, 3-drop. Like, I curve out really well, except I have to play this Evolving Wilds to get going. And it's like, okay, I play that. And then you top deck another Evolving Wilds. And you're like, all right, well, I guess I play the land that comes into play untap, play my 2-drop.
Right.
And then next turn I can play another 2-drop in my Evolving Wilds. It's just, it's a situation where you're putting yourself behind trying to play around what you can afford. So it was very aggravating today where if I could have just had that land one turn earlier or ever seen a second or a third land, like I didn't keep anything that was just a one-land hand today, although I had a one-land hand that would have been exciting, but it's just, it was really a problem where I just never got a second or third land, or a third or fourth land, or all I would draw is lands. It was like, alright, it's turn 8, I have 8 lands in play, and 3 in my hand. What the hell, deck?
Right.
So, I think having a little bit of money in your mana base is good. So, and I just can't afford to do that right now. I just can't afford to drop $200 on fetch lands and battle lands. So we would have to build this in paper with no budget in the mana base.
Right.
But I would like to do it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of potential for a big mana deck with the big payoffs potentially being Heathenist Trove and the Horde or Villainous Wealth.
Right.
It's like Horde Wealth. That's not right. Those do not go together for a Magic card, I don't think.
Technically, you are hoarding the wealth, though.
I suppose so.
I mean, yeah, like, you know, I've been trying to refine this. It's a mill deck, in my opinion. Been trying to refine it, and Heathenist Trove saved me so many times this past week. I guess it's just unreal how many times it just was like, well, you're about to lose, and then you just gain a bunch. Like, I was playing against a Naya ally deck, and it was turn 9. You know, I was just stabilizing, you know. He got me down to 1, then I played Encircling Fissure. Or, no, I cast Hedonist Trove, because he had Encircling Fissure in his graveyard. So he attacked me. I fogged him. Next turn, I played another Hedonist Trove, which was just really sad to play Hedonist Trove for 2 cards in the graveyard. Encircling Fissured again, then I just, you know, kept playing his creatures, and eventually I beat him down with his own allies.
Yeah, if we think about it, Hedonist Trove basically says, draw 3 cards on your turn, one of which is probably going to be a land, and then draw 1 card on their turn, assuming it is an instant.
Yes.
So, I mean, we've talked about it a lot, but I don't think we've actually read the text. So, Hedonist Trove enters the battlefield, exile all cards from target opponent's graveyard. You may play land cards exiled with Hedonist Trove. You may cast non-land cards exiled with Hedonist Trove. You cannot cast more than 1 spell this way each turn. So basically, they have a bunch of cards in their graveyard. You exile a whole bunch of them. Like Travis said, there's a whole lot of processing interactions that can go on with Hedonist Trove. And then you get to play 1 spell each turn from it. So again, it's just insanity, really. I do like this card. I would like it a lot more if it cost 6. 7 is pretty expensive. But in the deck like what you are playing, right, where you're trading off a lot, or you're milling people down, or you're trying to get, you know, play the huge mana deck with the Oblivion Sowers and stuff like that, I really think that it has a lot of potential in this current metagame.
Right.
And it isn't Dragon, so it's going to last an extra couple of months over Cons. So we don't have a huge window to put Hedonist Trove with Villainous Wealth, but I think those 2 cards kind of go together, in my mind at least. Maybe not. Maybe you don't want the blue cards in your deck at all. I'm not sure, but seems like it should work.
Well, I was, you know, I do have the 5 colors. Like, I do have all 5. And
sure. And I'm not necessarily talking the you as in Travis, you as in we,
everybody,
the Magic players.
Yeah. Okay.
But it is a tricky question.
Well, and like me personally, I have blue in my deck, or in my sideboard, and that's the only place I have blue. Because I know this is just such a bad reason for it, but Mirror Mockery shuts people down when they're playing Abzan.
It can. Now, it shouldn't, because if any of the colors should be able to handle it, it should be them, but
right.
It is tricky.
But when you're milling them and, you know, you get their random, you know, enchantment removal, even their enchantment removal is sacrificed. So if you have, like, Mirror Mockery on the field and a Retreat to Kasandu, and the Mirror Mockery is on a Siege Rhino, you're going to get rid of the Retreat if that's your only options.
Sure. Yeah, I just don't know. There's a lot of options. It really, I think, is a good thing for us to kind of fiddle with. And it'll really show off what we're trying to do, right? So, real fast here, let's hit our troll cards of the week. Mine is Woodland Wanderer. I think it comes down to this 5-color deck that I kind of played at the end of today's stream, showing how truly brutal that card can be if you can cast it for 4 or 5 different colors of mana. Like, this guy was consistently playing it as a 6-6, So it's a 6/6 Vigilant Trample, I think.
Okay.
For 4 mana, and that's just a killer.
Right.
I mean, especially if they're also, like, full of removal spells. So, yeah, it was quite good. The guy was playing it, he was a very heavy Converge player. Like, he had at least 2 main deck Radiant Flames, at least 2 main deck Painful Truths. He was running what's the enchantment we really love that you, it costs a red and you pay a red and it does a shock? I can't think of it right off the top of my head. He was running that main deck. He was running Tormenting Voice. He was running Treasure Cruise. I mean, it was very sweet. I was really impressed with the deck. His main win conditions were Woodland Wanderer and the 2/2 that gets Prowess and Lifelink when you play a... when the Prowess triggers.
Yeah.
So it was just a real beating. I was very impressed. And the card that stood out to me the most was that Woodland Wanderer. Just coming down on turn 4 or turn 5 as a 6/6 or a 7/7 Vigilance Trample. I was just incredibly taken back by the card. I like the card. I think it's a good card. But before today, I thought, it's cute. Maybe we'll play it somewhere. But after today, I definitely think I want to build this deck. I come up with a good list for it. I think it's just a ridiculous card. And it looks like you've picked Retreat to Kazandu again.
No, I've had...
Is that correct? I feel like we do a lot with this Green Retreat. It's been one of our cards that we've really been drawn to, the two of us.
Just money. When I say money, I mean it doesn't cost anything, it just has so much value.
I mean, giving creatures +1/+1 or gaining 2 life every time you play a land, especially in an environment full of landfall triggers and fetch lands and stuff like that, it is a very good card.
Yeah, like, in my deck, I put in the Retreat to Emeria with it as well, again. And then I ended up beating someone down with, creatures, but also a 6/6 Elvish Visionary because of Retreat to Kazandu.
It can get the job done. I've seen a lot of guys become impressive because of the Retreat, and it would be a staple in pretty much every deck that I'm playing right now in Standard that is running green.
Right.
It's basically the first card I add to any deck that I'm planning on having green in right now. It's just that good.
The only other... I mean, I might be tempted to throw in Retreat to Koroholm in the deck as well, simply because I have, the fetches and Natural Connection, which is the instant speed Mapa Waste. And then that's, just another more stall tactic. Oh, you're going to attack me with that thing? You're going to combat? Well, let me just stop this big one really quick.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential in these retreats. I'm very impressed with them.
Yeah.
The red one's probably the one I enjoy the least, which I think has a lot of potential. It just needs some fine-tuning. I'm not sure where it is. So what do you have coming up? Anything exciting in the foreseeable future? I know there's usually not very much these last couple of weeks of the year because, holidays and stuff like that. But do you have anything that you're kind of brewing for or working for or anything in particular coming up?
I'm just brewing to brew. I'd have to look, for upcoming tournaments and everything. But, the closest place that we'd be going would be Denver. right. or Sioux Falls, which either way, it's a 6 to 7 hour drive.
Yeah, it is a long drive. So, I bring it up because this last weekend, I did my first GP trial as head judge. Yeah. Thank you very much. And it was for Grand Prix Houston. And one of our local players won. Hunter, congratulations. You did very well. He was playing, it was modern, and he was playing a Merfolk list. And he literally played 100% bad matchups to win and went through undefeated to win the trial. So he was a well-earned victory for Hunter. But it got me thinking, well, now that I have a local guy who's motivated to go to a Grand Prix, that and it's a standard Grand Prix, I believe, it gives me a reason to really knuckle down and start brewing and helping our guys with their standard decks and really try bringing them up a notch and figuring out what's going on, figure out what we can do to push the metagame. Granted, things are going to be completely shaken up before Grand Prix Houston, because I believe it's in February. And, of course, Oath comes out in January 15th, I think, is a pre-release weekend. So, what, a week after that? 2 weeks after that?
Yeah.
So, I think the Pro Tour, I think, is like February 5th, maybe? Somewhere in that ballpark? So, the metagame is going to be totally shaken up. But I think there's a lot of really raw potential now that we could tweak around. And again, I go back to this 4 or 5 color Woodland Wanderer kind of deck. And he sideboarded in Sea Dryers against me, by the way, which was totally unexpected. So, I don't know. I'm kind of working towards that. And you'll see a lot more very intense decks out of me. Normally when I brew around things for like fun or trolling or whatever. But I'm going to start knuckling down to battle what I think is going to be a thing in the metagame. Like, there's still going to be a lot of Jeskai Blacks. There's still going to be a lot of the Tarka Red type stuff. So I think that's where I'm going to kind of knuckle down in the next month or two. And I just was curious what you had on your radar, if anything at all. So it's good to know that you don't have anything.
Yeah, up here.
So we can keep it fun.
Up here, I realized, you know, I noticed just the general surrounding areas is just dead for any major tournaments.
Well, it is difficult. But, I mean, you are at a larger game store compared to where you were, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at the plus side, you have a little bit bigger of a game store than Salina, Kansas's 18 people Friday Night Magic.
Yeah.
So
yeah, normally
that is good.
Normally our FNMs go 5 rounds.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. Let's see. Let's get into the meat of the show. So I was on Facebook the other day, like, surprise, hello. It's kind of my job is to hang out on Facebook and see what's going on. And somebody posted that they needed help figuring out how to start to brew. So I thought we'd do a little leveling up of the troll, doing a what I'm calling Brewing 101 Troll. Okay. So I think we've kind of touched on this before, where we've kind of talked about, okay, I like to do 24 lands and 36 other cards and stuff like that. But we really have never talked about, do we focus on raw power? Do we focus on theme? Do we think synergy is just stronger than power level? I don't know. In my opinion right now, in the last 2 seasons, I've essentially played 2 different decks to a lot of success. One is this Mardu Planeswalker deck, and this other one is the token Impact Tremors deck. What do you think is better?
I like the Impact Tremors deck better.
And theme wise, would you rather?
Oh, okay, so like just deck wise, what would I rather do?
Yeah, is it better to play a deck full of extremely powerful cards, kind of stitched together loosely based off of the mana, or is it better to build something that really is synergistic, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it's better to build something that is really synergistic.
All right, so you lean on the sum of the parts rather than the individual parts.
Right, and you know, my reason for that is if you're relying on just a powerhouse, then you know what happens to your deck when that powerhouse gets countered or gets removed from the game. You know.
Well, I think this is the point. It's every card in your deck is a powerhouse. Every card in your deck is a must counter, and I feel that is often the correct choice. Like as Funtime Brewers, I think we, you and I, have a tendency to focus in on the decks that are synergy-based. And often the synergy-based decks run into this issue where, okay, here's my first Siege Rhino. All right, I deal with the first Siege Rhino. Here's my second Siege Rhino. Okay, I fight really hard, I deal with the second Siege Rhino. Okay, here is me attacking with a Hangarback Walker for one. Like, okay, I can deal with that. And Wingmate Rock. Like, I can't deal with Wingmate Rock 2.
Right.
Because every card is a must answer, or in the case of Wingmate Rock, 2 must answers. So, I don't know. I feel like the first thing you have to do is figure out that answer of that question for yourself as a Brewing 101. You got to figure out, do you want to build a synergistic deck, or do you want to build a deck where everything is super powerful? So after you make that decision, then you have to start going down the path of what's the strategy you are going to be following. So let's wander down the path of synergy, you know, synergy first. Synergy is the best. And then kind of, you know, just kind of discuss things and how we kind of go through the process. Do you start with a single card? Or do you start with a strategy?
It depends.
I warned you about this last night.
I know.
This was the topic.
See, and the thing is, like, it just depends on, you know, what kind of deck I'm going to be building. Like, if I'm, you know, if I just want one card to be in a deck, like,
Let's talk about the deck that you're playing right now. The mill deck that you're playing in standard right now. In my opinion, it started with you wanted to play with Alter the Brood.
Yeah, like I have been.
And then you went, okay, how can I build, or what strategy is around to make this happen? And you, the first incarnation of this deck, you went, Alter the Brood, Elspeth makes 3 cards, Elspeth making 3/1/1 guys that mill 3, this seems like a very powerful interaction, I'm going to build around this.
Yeah, and... Yeah, if you remember correctly, that deck was green-white as well.
Correct.
And the green was for... Oh, that stupid devotion centaur. Gain life equal to your devotion to green.
Right.
So, yeah, it was just... And every card was a permanent. And, of course, you know, once Ugin got there, he was just like, well, stabilize, I guess I'm going to... Lightning Bolt you since I haven't milled you yet.
Let's look at how this deck evolved now in the current rotation.
Okay.
So once again, you probably started with, okay, well, this deck was really sweet, and I want to continue to make this deck sweet. So starting with that card, what is the interaction that makes you keep going forward?
Still now, you know, every card in the deck, with the exception of a few sideboard cards, grants me a permanent. Even the non-permanent spells grants me permanents. You know, because they're
it goes fetches. And digs out lands.
Yeah. And then the main thing with Alter of the Brood is, obviously, if you only have one on the field, it's going to be an incredibly slow game. So you need to have some sort of stability, which is why Retreat to Kazandu, Jotty Offshoot, and, you know, other things that Retreat to Emeria, and Nissa's renewal. All of those things either grant me life or grant me a blocker, which is essentially more life, until really you just kind of watch them fade away, which is essentially
so,
what it is.
In your mind, there's definitely two different keys to most of your synergy decks. You have how you're going to win and what it is that's going to take over the game. And then you have the thing that's going to let you sit there long enough to live.
Right.
Okay.
So that's basically how I build, you know, the synergy deck, like that type of synergy deck. But then at the same time, you know, with Impact Tremors, you really more or less have to build a deck that just completely ignores your opponent and then just tries to beat them in the face as quick as possible. So that's a different type of synergy.
I don't remember if we've ever talked about Impact Tremors on this deck or on this podcast, but Impact Tremors deck that I ran most of last season was, it ran, what, like 7-1 drops, 8-1 drops?
Yeah, something like that.
Something at that point. And I think at the end I was running even more 1 drops than that. Basically, I really like the interaction of, what's the one, the Mardu Strike Leader? No. Yeah, well, the Strike Leader for sure. The, what's the 1-2 with Prowess with Haste?
Swiss Spear.
I really like the interaction of, like, Swiss Spear with any of the token generators, and the problem with the token generators were they didn't have haste. There was no way to get them to attack, so often they were very slow. They could get there, but they were very slow. So I kind of looked around, and I went, okay, what card is going to make this interaction better, right? What card is going to take this interaction up the notch I needed? And in this case, I dug around and found Impact Tremors as the card that I wanted to add to make the deck go. And as soon as I added it, I felt like, okay, I'm really on to something here. And then I was able to push it the extra couple of notches with, like, the Stridu Mardu Strike Leader and the Horde Chief and whatnot. It kind of took the deck over that hurdle it needed and really pushed it through. Unfortunately, that deck lost, you know, Stoke the Flames, which was a huge loss. And then it also lost, I feel like it lost like 3 really keen cards, but now I can't think of what they all are. But anyway, that deck kind of shifted and fell back a little bit. I think that there's still possibilities to make something like that work, but I think it would have to, instead of a fast aggro 22 land-based deck, filled with cheap permanents, I think it's probably a slower, more mid-rangey, grindy kind of thing. And that's where I saw a lot of people, they were doing like red-white, playing for the long game with the X-Spell that makes all the 1-1s defend the waste or something
the waste.
Secure the waste. So, again, I think it's a matter of how you want to build your strategy and how you want to have your defensives. In my case, I was looking to kill the opponent as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And when I sat there, I went, okay, how am I going to kill them? And that's when I found Impact Tremors and went, okay, now my token generation spells not only make 2 or 3 tokens and pump my prowess guys, they also do 2 or 3 or however much extra damage on top of that. And it really just kind of took that deck up that notch it needed to just make it totally dominate, at least our metagames.
Yeah, and you know, like I was,
and that, you know, includes the big stuff like the Azban aggro and all that stuff at the time. So let's go down the path just a little bit the other way, right?
Okay.
So right now I'm playing that Mardu, what I'm calling Planeswalker deck, right? Where I think we kind of talked about it a little bit over the last few weeks, and I was going to type up a deck list, and I haven't yet. But it's basically every card in the deck is just a bomb after bomb after bomb that somebody has to deal with. So on my low end, I'm running the 2-2 lifelink that gives all your burn spells lifelink. I'm running Monastery Mentors. I'm running the Thunderbreak Regent.
Okay.
I'm running the two different Kolaghans, Baby Kolaghan and Daddy Kolaghan. And I think that's probably my creature base. That seems right. I'm running the Shocks. I'm running the Draconic Roars. I'm running like a really interesting one-off package of instants in like Kolaghan's Command, the Exiling, the Instant Speed Vindicate, Utter End.
Yeah.
Like one Murderous Cut and like the Wrath everything but one creature.
Okay.
Tragic Arrogance? That feels right. And then I'm running like one or two of each of the different colorless and or Mardu color planeswalkers. So like two Gideons, one Sarkon, one Sorin, one Ugin, and I feel like there's one other one in there too, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. I might be running two of one of the planeswalkers. Oh. I feel like there's Obnixilus. Yeah, Obnixilus is in there. He's one of the card draw engines. So in this deck, every card is a must deal with or an immediate answer. So I do have six ways to kill Jace on turn two.
Effective.
I feel like that's very important, right? So, but other than those six cards, every other card in that deck is a deal with me. If you don't deal with this card, it's going to take over the game and destroy
it. Right.
Every single card. And it's not as synergy-based as I would like it to be. Like, there is a little bit of synergy in the sense that Monastery Mentor just has synergy with any non-creature spell.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, I play Sorin, and I make a 1-1. And now I have two creatures to give +1/+0 and lifelink to another turn. Like, don't get me wrong, there are synergies in the deck, but it is not the theme of the deck. The theme of the deck is just to be filled with powerful Magic, the Gathering cards, that can take over the game by themselves uncontested. So whatever the last threat that sticks wins the game.
Yeah, it's kind of like how it built.
I'm sorry. I also have that 1-1 with the at 6 mana or 6 lands in play, it starts making 5/5.
Okay. It's kind of like how
I have one of those.
I had my Jeskai build, you know, back when we were doing the store versus store things.
Right.
Every, you know, most Jeskai builds are slight control, even though they say aggro. And then, you know, they have like 10 creatures and, you know, like 16 spells or whatever. But when I built my Jeskai deck, it was just 8 spells and the rest were creatures. And then when we were doing the store versus store tournaments, you know, most people just didn't know how to deal with it because they're like, okay, you're playing Jeskai, but you're not playing any of the spells. You're just playing all of the creatures. I was like, I know. Answer me.
Right.
They'd spend all their...
You're putting the pressure on the opponent to find an answer for everything.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so
that's one way of synergy.
We're just going to step over each other. But I think that's probably your key decision to get started on your path. Would you agree? Figure out if you're going to build for synergy or build for just pure power. And what your strategy is going to be in the sense of, do you want to make it where everything's full of must answers? Do you want to fill it with synergy? Do you want to be the guy with all the answers? Do you think you have enough answers to deal with their threats? Like, those are the three kind of decks that are out there. And we, as trollish brewers in particular, I really don't brew to be the control deck. Right? Like, sooner or later, you're going to hit a mana pocket or something, and you're not going to be able to do that. I like playing control, but I like to be able to cast control spells that catch you up from being way behind.
Right.
And there's a bunch of those right now, but I don't think they're good enough with what they're trying to do. I don't know. What am I missing something, or would you agree that that is probably your first real question when brewing a new deck? what path do you want to go down?
I mean, it's definitely the path, because if you just choose a card to build around, you're going to have to build around that card, and, you know, sometimes that card just ends up not being in your deck anymore. So then you have to go with either, you know, synergy or power. And, you know, if you're brewing, most of the time, it ends up more synergy, because, you know, power cards are 9 times out of 10 going to be in a big deck, you know, that's, you know, winning top eights and everything, so, or, you know, top eighting events. So it's no longer a brew, in my opinion. I think the majority of brewing is more synergy-based, at least in my opinion.
It can be. It can be. I suppose once a brew takes off and becomes mainstream, it may have lost a little something special, but I would still say it's a brew. I think every deck is a brew, and it's just a matter of how it goes. Whether or not it's a brew for you, or whether or not it's a brew for the original creator, that's a different story.
Right.
I guess one other thing I want to add in here, there's not really a flow chart for building a deck, right? Like, you can't say, I'm going to start with this, and then make this decision, and then go to this, and then make this decision, and then, you know what I mean? It's more of a web, where every point along the tree, or every point along the path, you have, you know, decisions all the way around. And those decisions could lead you back to the start again, or it can lead you back in a circle, or it could sidestep you over to, you know, from one down one fork, you know, like we were talking about with synergy versus power. And you might find two power cards that have a little bit of a synergy that you want to build with, like in my example. I'm, you know, again, Monastery Mentor and literally any other card that's not a creature. And you say, you know, I just want to continue working this theme. And all of a sudden you find yourself in the opposite side of the tree out of nowhere. And you're just like, wow, that was a quick change. And now every card in your deck is nothing but power. And then you start looking at it again. Or you start down that path and you look at it and you're like, oh, here's a cool interaction. Can I tweak this interaction even more? So, I don't know. I hope that answered this person's question about how you start building. Like, or maybe they mean, what's your absolute step one? Do you start trolling through other decks? Do you start trolling through the Gatherer? I don't know what exactly their intention was, but I think that's where we started.
If they, you know, if they have an idea of how to build it, yeah, that's great, because, you know, like you said, the main thing about building a deck is it's a web. The only thing that I really find to be a constant in my deck building is how I do the lands.
Okay.
If I'm, you know, not doing a, if I am doing a monocolor deck, obviously the land base is going to be easier to figure out. But if I'm doing multiple lands, or, you know, multiple colors, I've always found it, like, the most efficient way, in my opinion, is divide by three.
Add them all up and divide by three?
You just add up, and you separate the piles, and then even separate the multicolored things. You separate them by color. You add up the mana symbols for every color. And then, so let's say you have, like, just 4 Curd Apes in your deck. I just use that as an example because I happen to have 4 sitting right in front of me. So you got 4 Curd Apes. So obviously your mana right there is going to be, you know, 4. Obviously 4 divided by 3 isn't much, so you just start out with 1 mountain. Let's say you have, like, 10 green sources. So you'd start with 3 forest. And then basically what you want to do from there, just rotate adding up. So it'd be like 4 forests, 2 mountains, 5, and then 3, 6, 4, you know, just going up like that until you have the amount of mana that you need. And then basically another way that I do the math with that is how much land is actually going to be in your deck. Because I've had decks where I've run 18 lands, and I've had decks where I ran 28 lands. So the number of lands in your deck is also highly important to what you do.
Well, I think that's a valid way to go. Personally, I don't do that at all. I always start with 24 lands, and then what I like to do is I lay out all my cards in the order that I think I'm going to play them in, right? So things I think I'm going to play on turn 1 through 3, I lay them out. It's just like you kind of do with your mana curve, except less to do with your mana curve and when you think you're going to play them. And then I try to adjust the numbers, and again, using piles of 4, I try to adjust the numbers in such a way where I have the mana I want on the turns I think I'm going to need it. So, assuming that, again, 40% of your deck is lands, that means, you know, you can kind of calculate your ratio pretty easily, but I figure 1 out of every 3 cards is going to be a land, or realistically, 4 out of every 10, which again kind of works down in my brain to about 1 out of every 3, odds are. So I kind of can use that to kind of figure out, okay, where am I going to need my second color of mana? Do I need that second color of mana on turn 4, or do I need it on turn 5? Do I need it on turn 6? And kind of work at it from there. So I do my math a little differently, but I think it all works. So we're getting a little long, and we have a few other things to talk about. I really wanted to touch on putting together a quick shell of what we would consider a Christmas-themed deck. And what I was originally thinking is we would just kind of start putting together in standard what I would consider like a Magic Christmas-time deck, as that would be our theme. But I just don't think we're going to have the time. So maybe instead we just talk a little bit about what I think is each of our most Christmassy cards. So you talked about a goblin, correct?
Yes.
So tell me about your goblin real fast, and then I will tell you about the card I think is the most Christmassy.
Okay, so this goblin, I thought it was just for Legacy, but then I remembered it was reprinted in
Time Spiral, right?
Time Spiral. Yes, and you know, it's a nice little 4 mana cost goblin. That's a 1/1. So, you know, completely awful. But it's Goblin Snowman. And whenever it blocks, you prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to and by it this turn. You can also tap it to deal 1 damage to target creature it's blocking. And I chose Goblin Snowman. Well, number one, I love goblins. And number two, whenever I think of winter, I obviously think of, you know, snow. And
there are people around the world that Christmas is not a winter holiday.
Yeah, well, those people aren't me. And like I said, it's when I think
true.
About it.
So the first card that kind of came to mind, and again, I was thinking about building this for, you know, a standard base deck. But the card that came to my mind the most when we were talking about a Christmas-themed card was Humble Defector, right? He is a 2/1 for a red and a colorless, and you tap him, you draw 2 cards. He gives you the gift of drawing 2 cards. And then target opponent gains control of him. So not only do you get to draw 2 cards, so you're getting 2 presents for yourself, you're giving your opponent a present so they can get 2 cards and then give you the present back. Of course, in a realistic world, what we want to do is sacrifice that creature. But with the draw 2 cards on the stack or some other way to regain control of it before they have the opportunity to do anything. But, you know, I to me that feels very Christmassy. What do you think? Is that Which of the two do you feel is more Christmassy now? Oh, we've had this argument.
Mine.
Yours, of course.
Because goblins and snowmen.
What can I say? Drawing cards right there. Anyway.
Preventing damage. What's more happy about, you know, like...
I suppose that's pretty Christmassy, too.
Like, don't get hurt.
So, we got an email from Adam again, and there's a lot of decks in here. We were going to try talking about them today, but we really went a little deeper in the brewing than I thought we would. So we'll have to save them for next time. There are some interesting ones in here. One he's calling Red Green Landfall, which I've actually seen some different variations on that before. His take on Black White Allies. What I think he's cool is the Serene Steward. As you know, I've been becoming quite a big fan of her, especially with all the different life gain stuff that we're kind of working into our decks. So that's pretty sweet. We also have a Black White Warriors take, which when we do get a chance, we will compare the Black White Warriors list versus my Black White Warriors. And really kind of analyze the two of them together and see what my deck could use from his examples and what his deck could possibly use from mine. And, of course, the deck that I think is the most exciting, because you and I have been fiddling with it for a while, is an Is It Artifact-based deck. Because I really want to get Herald of Kozilek really grooving in Standard. I think it's got a lot of really great potential. And it's currently just not seeing any love. So I think that you could do colorless / artifacts and really kind of make things sing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of this week's show. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And I think we're going to basically go out on what magic coal do you not want to turn up in your stocking this week, Travis? Have you been a good boy this year? You're probably not going to get coal in your stocking. But if you were going to have some coal, what would you not want to see?
Magic related?
Yeah. Like a bunch of D4s? No, that's not very magic related.
Those suck.
I thought about it a little bit, and there is a magic card from, where is it from? Antiquities? And it's an artifact called, and I'm going to get this all wrong, Rakalite?
Okay.
Rakalite. I have it in the show notes, you can
yeah.
see it. It is a 6-mana artifact that says, pay 2, prevent the next 1 damage that would be dealt to target creature or player this turn. Return Rakalite to its owner's hand at the beginning of the next end step. So it's one of those artifacts, kind of like Rocket Launcher, where you pump a whole bunch of mana into it to get the effect a whole bunch of times, and then it goes away. Except this is a 6-mana artifact that does it. And it goes back to your hand.
It's just garbage. And it's rare.
I think it's an uncommon...
No, it's rare. I'm on the Gatherer.
Are you? Okay. I want to say it's an uncommon in the original set it was printed at. It may have been printed in some other sets as a higher.
Antiquities, it's uncommon. Chronicles
yeah.
and Masters
Chronicles.
4 are rare.
Okay, well, there you go. It's not a very good Magic Gathering card, and it's pretty crazy. So that's a card I do not want to see in my stocking. Now that you had a second to think, do you have anything that you don't want to see in your stocking?
Anything with Communal of Upkeep.
Oh, Communal. Well,
minus the red one.
Okay, gonna say minus
yeah.
the one that puts mana in your mana
yeah.
pool.
Minus that. I
yeah.
just hate the Upkeeps.
I mean, I like. Is it Glacial Chasm?
Yeah,
that has a clean of upkeep. I'll play that one. I like that one. But otherwise, I tend to agree with you on the cumulative
upkeep. I mean,
maybe. Theme, but...
maybe Snowfall's alright? That's the one where whenever an island is tapped for mana, they can add an additional blue? If it's tapped for snow?
It sounds like it's going to take a ton to print its own, to pay for itself. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
Like, if, I mean, it's blue ramp. That's essentially all it is.
Sure, and for the turn that you play it, it could be quite good.
And
I don't know.
All the turns after is...
Well, as long as you can keep it on the board, right?
Right, but, I mean, it's cumulative upkeep of island. When an island is tapped, it's doubled, and then when that island is snow, it's two extra, so each snow island will tap for three mana. So it ramps highly efficiently if you're playing a snow-covered deck, or
a snow-covered island, basically, deck.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean...
Oh, we're checking out.
I guess that's the only one I wouldn't mind other than the red one.
I think it's all about the red one.
Yeah, but how many...
All right, well...
How many instant speed X spells are there for red?
Oh, probably a couple. It's probably easier to make it where you can cast a spell as an instant than to try to load up with instant speed red friends, or instant speed red decks.
Well, I might ruin
either.
That.
The Ring of Fire?
No,
I think
Snowfall.
It's called Ring of Fire.
Snowfall.
Okay, well, do it. What rarity is it? Can you build it in your popper deck?
I can. It's common.
There you go. There you go. Look at us tying in from last week. We're a hero. All right, well, thank you for joining us, Travis. I appreciate it. Again, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I think we'll be back next week. It'll be very tough for me to record next week. But if we have an opportunity, we will record a New Year's week show. We'll just have to play it by ear and see what happens. But this is Two Trolls and a Brew. I'm Samus. He's Travis. You can check us out on Twitter at I'm at Samus Garobo. He is TurtlePower319. You can send us an email, just like Adam did, that we really didn't get into too terribly in depth, at the2trollsbrew@gmail.com. We love emails. Emails are great. You can also check me playing on twitch.tv/SamusGarobo basically every day of the week at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Mondays is Hearthstone, Tuesdays is Magic, so that's probably the big day for everyone else. And then I play a variety of different games throughout the week, including basically getting destroyed in Heroes of the Storm, because Travis doesn't love me enough to switch over to play Heroes of the Storm with me occasionally. I said occasionally. I'm not saying every day. I'm just saying after I get crushed like 18 times in a row, you would make other friends. You would make more friends. You don't want other friends. That being said, I will also be joining you on League on Fridays. Time permitting for you waking up.
Right.
Basically. With that, I think we're going to call it a show. Do you have anything that you want to end with there, big old buddy?
Nothing at all? Nothing to add or anything? Merry Christmas and we'll see you later.
No, bye-bye. Like Tobrell always likes to do.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. How about Troll On?
Oh, that'll work. Yeah, Troll On.
Troll On.